All right, good morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Been an interesting week this week. Folks are getting out and about a little more. People still can't drive. 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I say, it's been an interesting week. We've got one less city than we had than we started the week with. We've got something in this country that I think most people forgot about, and that's that you're innocent until proven guilty. And I suppose that that mayor and anybody, just about any news media organization that put out that story about that police officer, quote unquote, killing that man, I think they ought to be charged for inciting a riot, let alone not only that, but it's the same news media that told you that Michael Brown was gunned down in cold blood. It's the same news media that told you that Hillary Clinton was going to win hands down. It's the same news media that lies to you every single day. I don't see why people believe them when they say a police officer killed somebody. Maybe he did. You say, well, I've seen the video with the guy's knee on the back of his neck. You see that 200,000 times a day all across the world. That's common technique for apprehending somebody that's being belligerent or resistant, that knee in the back of the neck. They taught that in the military, taught that in the military police. They taught that in the riot controls, contingency battalions. They teach that in police academies all over the world. And said, well, I saw the video. The man sitting there yelling, he's yelling, I'm choking, I'm choking. And then all of a sudden he's dead. I got news for you. When you're choking, you can't yell, I'm choking. The international sign for choking is not, I'm choking. You put your hands on your neck like this because you can't say, I'm choking. When your airway's cut off fatally, you can't speak. And so, I saw it. Well, you see a lot of things. They show you a big old shark taking down a ship on a movie. That's not real. It's in that they made that in the bathtub. The movie Jaws made in the bathtub. I don't know if you know that or not. That shark ain't real. You see a lot of things on TV. And a lot of times when they show stuff on the news media and tell you what's happening at the same time, they're playing you the video and they're telling you what's happened. Usually I just pass that by and go with what I see rather than what they're telling me, because most of the time they're telling you lies. And if you don't know that, then that's your problem. You say, well, what if they have a trial and they prove without a shadow of a doubt that he did murder the man? Well, then the man goes to prison and we go about our merry lives and we don't tear down a whole city making somebody guilty before they've been to court. Now, when it amazes me, when Justice Kavanaugh was being accused of doing something that he shouldn't have done if he'd done it, that the whole conservative world, oh, you're innocent to proven guilty. You remembered it then when it was somebody on your side.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, just because a police officer doesn't make him any different than a judge, he still gets due process.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And then you say, well, this shouldn't have been done, that shouldn't have. There's a lot of things that shouldn't be done, but this country's being led by its emotions this day and time.
Yep.
And it's not right. The church, that kind of stuff bleeds over into the church. Reactionary, emotional responses to things. There'll be churches split and churches closed down and churches that can't get along with one another. More and more and more as we go forward, because people just, there's no due process. Did you know there's not only due process in law, but there's due process in the way you go about your life?
Right. Yep.
Amen. You get up in the morning, you put your clothes on hopefully, or take a bath, not necessarily in that order, but take a bath and put your clothes on and go about your day, and you go about your day with due process. And if you get out of the due process, then you'll be in bad shape. You say, what is due process for life? Pray. Read your Bible. Amen? Amen?
Yep.
Love your neighbor. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And when you get out of the due process that God set down, then you be in bad shape. Things ain't going to go the way you want it to go. Amen? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. I don't know if we'll do this every week, but we're going to go here, start here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and kind of go back to the basics. I believe the church has a perfect opportunity now that we're getting back in the swing of things to do things right. Amen? It's not often in life that you get a do-over. Every kid on the playground knows what a do-over is. Amen? You didn't do it right the first time, you messed it up, now you want a do-over. One little kid says, I win. The other one says, no, wait, let's have a do-over. I want another opportunity to get this thing right. I want to be the winner. And in life, in Christianity, I want to be a winner, don't you? And so I think it's a good time for us to sit down and take account of things and get ourselves a do-over. Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help me and steady my mind and my heart. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help me to preach for just a few minutes. I pray, God, that you would get the glory and honor. I pray you'd forgive me my sins, wash me and cleanse me in your precious blood. And I pray, oh God, that the truth would be preached here this morning, that I'd be able to make sense of it. And Lord, that the hearers would get an opportunity to hear and understand, Lord, and incorporate some things in their own lives. And I'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, before we start reading in chapter 1, just take a peek at there at chapter 3. It says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A lot of times when a fellow says, well, I want to be a preacher, or I want to be a pastor, a lot of times an older preacher will direct them to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and say, well, study that chapter, and really you're doing them a disservice because the book starts in chapter 1. It doesn't start in chapter 3. And the book of Timothy and the book of Titus, of course, there's two books of Timothy, but in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, those are to preachers. Those are to preachers, and they are instructive for a preacher in how to go about the business of a church, how to go about the business of being a teacher, how to go about being a preacher, or whatever the case may be, but especially in the house of God, as it says in the book of Timothy itself, but how he ought to behave himself in the house of God. And let me say this, if God does set down rules and regulations for people, they're a good idea for everybody. So, well, I'm not a preacher necessarily. Well, good principles are good principles. Amen. Good principles. I've heard this said before, and you've probably heard it too. Fellas will be talking, and somebody, one will say to the other, well, you're a preacher. You ought to know better than that. You ever heard something like that? Yep. I've heard that myself because I've misbehaved before, and I've had somebody tell me, hey, you're a preacher. You ought to behave a little better than that. You ought to know better than that. Well, I did know better. I knew better before I'd done it. But I'm just like you. I'm a rebellious human being, just like everybody else. I know what's right 9 times out of 10, and I do what's wrong anyway. Yep. Amen? Yep. You say, well, what are you doing up there preaching then if you know what's right and you do what's wrong anyway? Because you do too. And if either one of us was up here preaching, we'd both be in the same boat. Amen? But at any rate, what I'm trying to get across to you here this morning is that principles are good for everybody. And what will go good for a preacher to organize his church life would be good for you to organize your own life, your personal life, your church life, your personal life, your married life, your financial life, whatever the case might be. Principles are principles, and they work all over the place. Amen? So we won't start in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And lo and behold, look what shows up here in the context. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. And that's really how we ought to live our lives, by the commandments of God. You say, well, we're not under the law. And I understand that, and we're going to look at that here in just a second. The law of God shows up and tells us what the law of God is for. But our lives still have to be governed by the commandments of God. After all, if we took a strictly religious view of the thing, and if we said we're not under the law of Moses, well, that doesn't mean that we're not under a law of any kind. The Bible in the New Testament plainly speaks of the law of Christ. There's a law of Christ. There's a law of God. There's a law of Moses. There's many different ways to say it, but the fact of the matter is that every bit of your life is going to be governed by laws. Amen. Try to get out of your bed in the morning without consideration for the law of gravity.
Yeah.
Amen. Just roll out and float to the restroom. Amen. It's not going to happen. You're going to fall over and hit your head on the ground. Amen. Because there's laws in place and we have to live by those laws. And the Bible talks about reaping and sowing. That's a law. That's a law. And we use that 9 times out of 10 as a negative thing, but it's also a positive thing. The Bible says you reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things. You say, why? That's a law. It's a commandment. And if you sow good things, guess what you're going to reap? You'll reap good things. And that's a law. And so those things ought to be dependent upon. And he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, God our Savior. That's a great passage of Scripture too. But Paul is what he is by the commandment of God. And could you say that about yourself? Could I say that about myself? I am what I am by God's commandment. Am I a preacher by God's commandment? So, well, how would I know that? Well, God's going to, that's the way people look at it. That's the way you want to look at it. That's fine with me. I'm not going to argue about that this morning. But I've heard so many people say, I was struggling about whether or not I should be a preacher or not, and God gave me this verse. And again, I don't want to be the dead horse or nothing like that. But if you got a verse and you think that's the verse that God wanted you to use to prove, but listen, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And I'm saved by faith. I'm saved by faith. And the Bible says that the way that we were saved, we should also live. We live by faith. We live by faith. And you say, well, I just don't think everybody's called to do the same. No, it's not that we're all called to do the same thing. It's that we are the called. Romans chapter 1 says that we are the called of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ called us to be witnesses. He called us to be saints. He called us into the ministry, every single one of us. There's not a person sitting in this room that is not called into the ministry. Male, female, man, woman, child, it makes no difference. Every single person in this room, if you're saved, you're called into the ministry. If you're saved, you're saved into the body of Christ. Which part of the body of Christ is not involved in the ministry? Which part of the body of Jesus Christ did not hang on the cross?
Amen.
Which part of the body of Jesus Christ, which part of the blood of Christ was not shed for us? It's not reasonable to think, well, Brother Allen's called to preach and Brother Mike's called to preach and Brother Joe's called to do the bus and I'm just called to come here and watch him do it. It's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. It's not reasonable at all. And so Paul says, I'm the apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. And that statement in and of itself is all-encompassing. He's God, our Savior. He's God, our Savior. He's God. That ought to be good enough. But we're all rebels since the garden. I don't know if you know if you were carrying that. I get the feeling that some folks in Christianity today think, there's a lot of bad people in the world, and I'm kind of a good guy. I think people think that way. And I'm saved, and I'm so thankful that God saves all these wretched people. So that they can come to church with me. And when I was born, my mom and dad went to church and I just kind of grew up in it and I believe in this man named Jesus and I'm so thankful that we can reach out to the community and let everybody else be a part of our wonderful. No, sir. No, sir. You was born as wretched and vile as anybody else. You. Amen. You. And if you want to be very clear about that thing, that's the reason that your zeal kind of flags and your interest kind of goes on to other things and your interest in Jesus kind of cools off us because you forget where God saved you from if you ever knew to begin with. And it's a positive thing that some people never knew to begin with what God saved them. As the Lord said to Israel, the pit that he dug them from. Some people forget. Some people never knew. Some people, they met a Christian worker on the street and they said, hey, would you like to be saved? Would you like to go to heaven? Oh, goody, yes. Well, say this little prayer with me. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And they repeat a little prayer. Oh, isn't it wonderful? There's never a mention of sin. There's never a mention of Christ being your Savior. Christ is not only God. God is not only God, but is God your Savior. He saved you from your sins. I preached you a message several weeks back about the sin being the problem. Sin is the problem. You can pretend it's not the problem. You can pretend you're not a sinner. You can pretend your life is not messed up. You can pretend that everybody else is the one with the problem. You can pretend that sort of thing. But when you wake up tomorrow, it's still going to be stinky old you with the stinky old stuff running through your head. You needed a Savior.
Amen.
You needed a Savior. Amen. And last night, I was called out to do a job down in Dover. And when I got there, there's a little parts store there in the center of Dover. There's a fire department there. And then across the street, there's a little, it used to be a grocery store or something, but it's a little auto parts place or something. It's a bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a bad neighborhood. And as I was leaving that neighborhood, this girl tried to get in my truck. And it was not a pretty sight. Not a pretty girl, but not a pretty sight. Amen? I said, now, you got to get off the step of my truck. And she stepped back and said, can I have $2? I said, I don't have $2. And I work for a living. I don't have $2. Amen. But at any rate, my heart really went out to the young lady. And she got mad and walked away. Can you imagine getting mad at somebody? But at any rate, she got mad and stormed off and disappeared someplace. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, that girl didn't have any problem that nobody else had. You know, you look down on somebody like that and you say, well, how could they be the way they are? Or how could they act that way? Or you could fall just as low or lower than somebody like that because you've got the same thing going on in your life that she has. She'd just been a little further down the road and took it to the wrong conclusions than you have. And the thing you don't realize is sin is a snake, and it'll wrap its coils around your neck and choke you out. And if it does it to you by prostitution or by drug abuse or just by love of self or pride of circumstance, or I've been going to church all my life, well, you better get saved. You say, why? Because God is your Savior. God's your Savior. And you may think that there's a vast difference between me and somebody that like that. Not a vast difference. God can take somebody like that and make them just as good as you, if they're not as good as you already.
Right. Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, listen, there's a lot of people that go to church that feel like they're so much better, and they're no better than an old prostitute.
Nope.
Amen?
Yep.
You say, well, look at what they're out there doing. Well, look at what you're doing. You're watching it on your television, enjoying it, and wallowing in that mess. What's the difference between her and you?
Yep. Amen.
We'll just let that simmer in just a little bit. That's the God's honest truth. You watching it on television or on your computer screen, and her out there living it, there's not a heap of difference between that. And I'll say this for you. I'll say this. You might be worse. Because you can probably get somebody on TV that's living in sin to tell you that they love what they're doing in order to catch some of you suckers into doing the same thing. But I've never run across a person that lives that lifestyle or somebody that's hooked on drugs or somebody... There's several pathways that lifestyle leads to. I've never run into somebody that lived that lifestyle that loved what they was doing. But the people watching it on the internet and HBO, they love what they're doing. Think about that just a minute. We've got the rest of our lives to get to the rest of this chapter. Think about that.
Yeah.
People on the outside, people that's sitting in the safety of their own homes watching that junk on TV, they love it. The people that's actually living the lifestyle you're coveting after, they would just about take their own life to get out of that. Think about that a little bit. Get on your television set and watch MTV, and they got all the money. That's not their money. You say, how do you know it's not their money? I mean, they make all this money. Well, how come as soon as they stop singing or acting or whatever, they're broke? Playing football, they're broke. It's not their money. The devil just let them borrow that so that they could be an example to you. Amen. If there wasn't such a thing as television, they'd be broke.
Yep. Amen.
All these I gotta be a football star so I can be rich. Wouldn't be no rich without you. That's your money. So you watch a video, they got all these cars. They rented those cars from some production company or something like that. You can go rent one too. Go rent your own, amen. But you're sitting there watching it, wishing that you could have that kind of lifestyle while they're sitting in their bedroom at home contemplating blowing their brains out. And every once in a while they do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
More often than not. Amen?
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're sitting there coveting that lifestyle and they wish they could get out of it. That ought to tell you something about getting your own lust under control. It ought to tell you something about getting your own brain under control, which I say that it's easier said than done, getting your own brain under control. But you ought to at least try.
Right.
Amen. And what we're talking about, basically, whether we're talking about living our life at home or whether we're talking about living our life inside the church, the way we act when we get here, the way we act when we get up in the morning, the way we act when we go to work, is just finding a set of commandments to live by and live by those. And why not living by the commandments of God, who, by the way, is also our Savior. God, our Savior. He saved us. And Him being God makes Him worthy, but then Him being God, our Savior, makes halfway through the sermon, and this thing goes dead. But at any rate, becoming par for the course. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I get it. By the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And we could probably talk about that for a little bit, Christ being our hope. I didn't want to talk about that, but you know, since we're talking about people living a bad lifestyle, the one thing that they could use is a little hope. You know, there's a difference between having a hope and having a wish. I wish I was a millionaire. Well, let's just hide and watch and wait until that one comes to pass.
Yeah.
You think there's much... Now, you know, there's a lot of people who have made $1 million over the course of a lifetime, but that's not what I'm wishing for. I'm hoping it'll all accumulate at one time. Ain't that what you're wishing? Well, there's not much likelihood of that happening.
Right?
Everybody's wishing to be millionaires, but they're wishing it from their couch. Does that make any sense? All this stuff you're wishing for. Now, it's okay to have ambition. Ambition, some people list that among the list of sins, but I don't list that among the list of sins necessarily. Ambition, you ought to have some. But make sure your ambition is not just sitting on the couch wishing for stuff to happen, because ain't much going to happen on your couch.
Right.
About all that happens on your couch is your wife comes by and says, could you lift your feet while I'm vacuuming? That's about all that's going to happen on your couch. Get up and do it. You're just wishing. All that stuff you're daydreaming about, that's just wishing. And it's been the downfall of a lot of people. Preachers sat around and wished they had 100 people in Sunday school. Well, you can sit there and wish for it all you want to. My old preacher used to say, put legs on your prayers.
Yep.
You praying for a full Sunday school class? Would you like to come to my Sunday school class? You say, what's that? That's putting legs on your prayer. Well, you pray and you get God behind you, and then you go after it. You're trying to make that $1 million? Well, get up and go to work. Amen. You say, well, my 9-to-5 job don't allow me to make $1 million. Well, get you a 6-to-12 job to go along with your 9-to-5 job. That's all I can tell you. I mean, you're going to have to get out and work for it. Yep. Amen. Well, the difference between a wish and hope is that a hope is something that has a reasonable expectation of coming to pass. And Jesus Christ is our hope. The Bible calls the second coming of Jesus Christ the blessed hope. And Jesus is our hope. And Jesus is the only hope you've got. And some of you, some folks don't know it, but your only reasonable expectation of making that extra money you want is Jesus Christ. I wish people looked at it like that. A lot of people right now hiding for fear, and their only hope of coming through without either getting a virus or surviving the virus if they do is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some people, you know, I'm just about disgusted with this stuff as I can be. Folks putting on these masks, and let me tell you, a mask, you're not a doctor. Neither are half of the people that's talking about it on TV. Amen? One of the dumbest individuals on the planet is a news anchor. And if you're going to listen to them, please give me 5 seconds of your time. Amen? That's all I ask. That mask is the most unhealthy thing you ever put on your face. I promise you that. Amen. You ain't washed it in a week if it's a cloth mask. Amen. It was dirty enough to make you sick 15 minutes after you put it on. And you've had it out of the dryer for a week. Well, so what's a body to do? Trust the Lord. You say, why? Because he's your hope. He's your hope. And people are tuning in daily. I got to find out what's going on with the coronavirus. Well, it's still out there. What else do you want to know about it? It's still out there. It's still infecting people. Probably more of it out there now than there was 6 weeks ago. What's your hope? It's Jesus. Without Jesus, you ain't got no hope. Well, if that being the case, if Jesus is our hope and God is our God and our commander, well, then we ought to do things his way. Amen. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace. That's what a Christian has. He has grace, mercy, and peace. Did you know if you're living for God and if you're God's child, you have the grace of God on your life? This is stuff that men believed when they went into the lion's den. Amen?
Yep.
This is the thing that men believed when they walked out on the field when there was a 9-foot giant standing there waiting to kill them.
Amen.
We read these stories in the Bible, and we think, man, I would like to have been around in David's day. I'd have been right there with him. As I look around at this vast auditorium filled with folks who love Sunday school, I imagine that you're full of junk. Amen. I could say full of some other things, but I don't talk like that. But that's exactly what's going on. You got a bunch of people that's saying, hey, if I was around in David's, if I was around in Jesus' day, I'd have been right there with Peter. I'd pull my sword and fight. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because you don't recognize that you got the grace of God in your life to get up and go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Amen. You got the grace of God. I don't know what I'll do about coronavirus. Grace of God. If there's a grace for killing Goliath, there's a grace for you carrying on your life tomorrow. Amen? You say, well, I might die. You might die in your car tomorrow. You don't have a promise of tomorrow. And it's an unreasonable expectation for you to think you deserve a tomorrow. And I'm not a Calvinist by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a lot of concepts in Calvinism that I like. He is an omnipotent, all-powerful God. He's to be praised, he's to be worshiped, and he's to be feared, and he decides if you get tomorrows or not. He decides if you get life or not. He decides if you get coronavirus or not. He decides if you survive it or not. He decides that stuff.
Amen.
Amen. There's not a hair that's falling out of your head that the Lord didn't go, There goes another one. Does the Bible say he counts them? Well, sure he does. The Bible says he takes time to watch the sparrows fall out of the sky. Amen. He knows and sees what's going on. Well, you say, what is it? You've got to count on for your very life the grace of God in your life every day. You got to have the grace. You're going to need the thing. One of the things that mystifies me as far as the Christian faith is concerned is that people get saved by grace. You mean I can't do nothing to save myself? You mean I'm a hopeless sinner? All that's true. God save me. And they depend on God for that. And then they live going to church on Sunday morning and reading their Bible every once in a while and praying every 6 months and maybe going to church on Christmas and Easter. And they heap all that on their own shoulders like this is what I've accomplished. And they try to live all this stuff under their own power. I can't go to heaven by my own power, but I can sure go to church by my own power. I can't. If I had the decision-making power on that one, I'd be in bed this morning. You would? Yes, I'm a total hypocrite. I'm standing here before you trying to preach to you, and all my mind is saying is, please go back to bed. Please go back to bed. Please go back to bed. Please. It's a constant battle. You say, what? I need serving grace. And I've got it. And I've got mercy, and I've got peace, and I'm not quite run out of time yet, but I need that on a daily basis or I'm not going to be able to live. Because part of that's the God our Savior has commanded that I live by these things. I got to live by faith. I have to live by grace. I have to live by faith. I have to live by these things, by God's mercy and by God's peace. And some of that stuff you ought to start taking as a commandment, not just as a good suggestion. Amen. You know what some of you Christians need that would do you as good as anything else in your life that I could think of? It's some peace. What you worried about? Life? I'm not saying that life is not a big deal. I'm not at all trying to suggest that when there's medical problems and financial problems and marital problems and stuff like that, that's not something that you should be concerned about. But I also, on the other end of that, would point out that the Lord said for you not to be careful for anything, full of care. Now, I would say you should probably take that in the context of life. If you're walking a tightrope, be careful. Amen. If you've been up 72 hours and you're driving, I suggest you be careful. If you've got little kids playing in the driveway, be careful. But I don't believe that's the context of what's being said in the Bible. In the context of what's being said in the Bible is that there's a roaring lion out there seeking to devour you. And on top of devouring you, he wants to worry you and shake you and everything else imaginable that can be done to an enemy, trying to do that to you, trying to destroy you, trying to kill you, trying to upset you, trying to make you worry about everything so that your emphasis in life is on everything but what it ought to be on. Amen? And that's what you're not to be careful about. Now, I want to try to put something in context for you here. There's a coronavirus out there. Amen? It's out there, right? Okay, let me ask you this. What can you do about it? Shh. What can you do about it? You going to eat? Where are you going to get your food from? You growing chickens in your backyard? Yes, matter of fact, I am. Somebody brings them chickens. Somebody comes and gets them. You're getting groceries from the grocery store. The delivery boy's bringing them to me. What's that stuff called? What is it? DoorDash. DoorDash brings me my groceries. That fella might have it. You making your own groceries? Well, now I'm even more worried than I was before, bro. That's what, see, you got, The world offers this, you put on the mask and wash your hands, you got nothing to worry about. Well, you might want to consider God in the equation.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. We talked about this a little bit before church started back up. They said, well, you know, you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. Because we're all in this together. Every time I pass a sign that says we're all in this together, I want to hit it with my truck. I'm not in this with you. You think I'm going to let Brother Ron or Brother Squeaky try to keep me safe from COVID-19? That's right. No, sir. Listen, we're not all in this together. But that's the kind of, it's got a good slogan. I feel better. We're all in this together. That means we're probably going to get it if we're all in it together. So you're telling people to socially distance, but we're all in this together? That don't make a lot of sense, does it? Well, you got folks that they wash their hands, they put on their mask, they don't leave their house, and in that they feel safe. You got people that stayed away from church, happy to do so, but they go to Walmart. Listen, you won't come in here where there's 40 people one time a day, but you'll go to Walmart where there's 4,000 people 50 times a day. I think you just want an excuse to stay out of church. I'll direct this one towards the camera so that people can see it at home. I think you just want to stay out of church.
Amen.
Amen? You say, well, I think, Brother Mike, you're just trying to pressure people to come back to church. Well, there's somebody pressuring you to stay home.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, there is.
Fuss at them. Amen. People just fall into the manipulation of things. They really do. Have you noticed that all the essential stuff is stuff that pays big revenue to the government? Alcohol, essential. There's a great big tax. Church, not essential. Church doesn't pay any taxes. Well, there it is. Groceries, grocery stores, meat packing plants pay taxes to the government, controlled by the FDA, churches. We don't produce anything around here but bums. Amen. Baptists, some of the biggest bums on the planet. Amen. If you don't believe that, you let me introduce you to some preacher friends of mine. Amen.
Amen.
That's true. That's true. Amen. Folks got their mask on. They got peace. They're microbes. They're going to get through the mask. You say, what is the solution? You're going to have to trust God, folks. You're going to have the peace of God. You can't live your life 24 hours a day. And whoever's in charge of the world, I don't know if it's the news media, the government, or the Illuminati. I could care less who's in charge. The devil's in charge of the world. The Bible says if he can keep you worried all day about something else and keep you focused on something else, then so be it. He'll do that. And he'll manipulate you and make you feel bad. And he'll have some masked Nazi come by. Why aren't you wearing your mask? Because I've got it off in case I have to whoop your behind. Mind your own business. Well, that's a good message. I wish I had 25 or 30 more minutes I could preach on that. Just mind your own business.
Amen. Amen.
That's a wonderful thought. It feels good saying it. Sometimes I wish I was a charismatic preacher so I could get you involved. Turn to your neighbor and say, mind your own business. It feels good to say. It's therapeutic. Mind your own business. Well, so they get people whipped up into a frenzy over stuff like that, and people just fall right into it. The news media gets on the air and says, racist, and people go around for the next 10 days, racism, 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 racism. Mask, 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 mask. You know what happened along about the 70s? It was happening before this, but it got real strong in the 70s. I don't know what happened in the 60s. I wasn't around in the 60s. But I know this, in the 70s, they come out real hard against, don't let no preacher tell you what to do. Them preachers, they're just trying to brainwash you. That's what they're trying to do. And that was the main thing. And on the TV shows like The Waltons and Andy Griffith's show and The Beverly Hillbillies and all them shows that people like, I like them pretty good myself. But the preacher's always a wacko on there, unless he's Catholic. Well, they started emphasizing that. That preacher telling you not to smoke. You shouldn't let them run your life and tell you what to do. And people got that attitude now that we're here 40 years later. That's exactly the attitude people have. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. The news anchor gets on, you should wear a mask. Oh, yes, sir. You still got somebody telling you what to do and manipulating you. It's just the wrong people now. And what you're doing is you're reaping the results of changing commanders. Mm-hmm. Yep. How many school shootings did we have in the 60s, in the 50s, in the 40s? Wasn't nobody worried about no school shootings back then? Well, you traded preachers and Bibles and rules and commandments and regulations for J.R. Ewing and Tom Brokaw. Amen. You got the wrong commanders now. You're following the wrong guy. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Amen. Brad Pitt told you what to wear. How to wear your hair. Ladies smiling, they do the same thing. It's true. Christians taking their walking orders from the wrong source. And even preachers are against it. Preachers get up, when they get up to preach, they know, now I'm not here to hurt you. You need a whooping. That's what you need a whooping. You need a whooping. We're nowhere near even started with the chapter yet, but once you get down to the end of the chapter, Paul said some people was acting like they shouldn't. He just turned them over. Well, I'll just read it to you. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
Yeah, how about that?
We got it pretty good, I guess.
Yeah.
Amen. You act out in Paul's day, I say, well, I'll just turn you over to the devil. Whatever, you say, what is, explain that, Brother Mike. I can't explain it, but I can just look at it and read it and say I don't want to go through it. Ain't no preacher going to tell me what to do. Okay, our pastor up down in Mount Airy, he used to say, I'll turn you over to the devil. It was a different world back then. He'd get up in the service, somebody get up to go to the restroom during the service, he'd say, hey, sit down over there. So I bet they stormed out, didn't it? No, they sat down. He'd get up during the service and say, I'm your boss, and God told me to tell you what to do. We had a lady get up. It was a lady. A lady gets up to go to the restroom, and he says, hey, where are you going? You got to go pee? That's not politically correct. You say, well, what's the difference? I can remember so many times growing up, a baby start crying. Now we're so 21st century now. If a baby cries during the service, we say, aw, he's trying to out-talk me. Say something cute like that. Back in the 70s and 80s when the baby cried, they said, hey, mother, take that child out. You lose church members over that if you did that this day and time. Well, you can't tell me what to do with my little baby. You leave with it. Somebody's got to tell you what to do. It ain't going to be you. Well, let it be Tom Brokaw then. Let it be somebody like some of these music idols you listen to. They taught you how to dress. Let them be your boss. After they blow their brains out, you blow yours out. You think that's not what's going on? We had so many suicides in the schools here in town. You think that's not what's going on? They're not getting that from church. They're not getting that from the book of Genesis. They're getting that from the same place you're getting most of your fears and most of your doubts and most of your concerns. You got a different commander, a different legislator. Paul said he was an apostle by the commandment of God. And you are what you are by somebody's commandment, by somebody's leadership, probably your wife's. I'm always interested when the Lord lays something like this on my heart, Brother Heath. I look around and I see most of the fellas are going, but the little lady sitting next to him usually tells the tale. Are you challenging my authority? You don't have none, woman. Brother Mike, are you a male chauvinist? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't believe a woman's place is in the home. I don't believe none of that stuff. We've talked about that before. But I'm no male chauvinist. But I know who's in charge of my house. And I know who's in charge of yours, too, because I can see from right up here. Nobody's in charge at Brother Ron's. If one of you ladies could go by Brother Ron's house and tell him what to do, he'd appreciate it. Amen. Amen. We better stop right there. We've devolved away from a message and into pandemonium. There shouldn't be too many Minneapolises in one country, so let's get things under control here. Lord, we do thank you, God, for all your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, I suppose this might be some kind of an introduction to the chapter. And Lord, these things certainly are true and certainly are reasonable that we take our instruction and live accordingly from some source. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church to get back to following your will and your way. And I pray, oh God, that something said here this morning, God, might spark an interest, and we might say to ourselves that we take our leadership and our guidance from you, from the right source. And Lord, you have instituted governments among men and leadership among men, and you've given us, according to the Bible, gifts, which are pastors and teachers and evangelists. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get good godly examples for those of us who are in a position of authority. I pray that you'd help us to be the leaders that we ought to be, the examples, not just leaders, but examples that we ought to be. I pray you'd help us to preach. I pray you'd help us to trust in you. I pray, oh God, that you'd give us the grace and that you'd give us the mercy. God, as far as I know, every one of us deserve to be under a plague, but we don't desire it. We ask you to help us and forgive us. We ask you to keep us safe. And should we contract an evil disease, we pray that you'd keep us safe and bring us through it. We pray that for everybody. Lord, we pray you'd drive this away. And Lord, if the most evil person be affected by it, pray you'd help them, convict them. I pray, oh God, you'd save them. We pray for your mercy and grace in each life. Lord, especially the brethren, I pray you'd give them mercy and peace and grace. Only help us, God, to follow that which is right instead of that which is evil. And I'll thank you and praise you for all that you've done. I do praise you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take about a 5-minute break.
I changed the batteries out, but it didn't seem to work. What's that?
Put that underneath my truck tire.
Yeah. I know, that thing goes dead every week.
Something that's in it, that's how you got it. This is not even a virus.
That's what I heard.
Bacteria.
That's what I heard.
Bacteria.
Well, there was a doctor 3 weeks ago that was saying that they was treating it with antibiotics. You know, antibiotics don't affect virus. Lady said everybody she treated with antibiotic, give them a shot right in the behind. They said every one of her cases cleared up.
That's what they put in my intravenous for 4 days.
Is that right?
Resistamycin, and that's what that is, an antibiotic. And they took Carla off of the blood thinner, that's what killed her.
Mm-hmm. You guys have my stuff?
Which stuff you got? I didn't see them yet. Were they supposed to be on a specific date? I didn't see it.
Because I know I got a couple lights in there, but the rest of the stuff was supposed to be moving.
You go down there?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Me and Dave are wearing that suit.
You want to take that to that guy and just see what he says?
Okay.
That's the full price on it. That's what I'm getting.
All right.
That's what Eric priced out. That's a 14 sear. See what he's got on a 14 sear? You can even ask him on a 16 if he's got one.
All right. All right. Sounds good.
You didn't see any...
You
didn't see any packages delivered, did you? No?
What?
Sheila said that the rest of some more of my lights came in, like the ones for the garage that I ordered over there.
Well, maybe Mike's seen them.
And
or Ruth.
Mike said he hadn't seen anything.
Ask Ruth. She would know more.
She said she didn't see it, but the email Sheila got said it had been delivered. And I was like, well,
wow.
I don't know where it's at then, because we didn't get it.
Reading the heart.
119. We sang that Wednesday night. We sang that Wednesday night. Yeah, it was the last song I picked on Wednesday night. Yeah. Better get your act together, son.